Hallelujah. Let's read from Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 from 1 to 7. Isaiah 43, 1 to 7. Israel, the Lord who creates you says, do not be afraid, I will save you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When you pass through fire, you will not be burned. The hard trials that come will not hurt you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel, who saves you. I will give up Egypt to set you free. I will give up Ethiopia and Sheba. I will give up whole nations to save your life, because you are precious to me and because I love you and give you honor. Do not be afraid, I am with you. From the distant east and the farthest west, I will bring your people home. I will tell the north to let them go and the south not to hold them back. Let my people return from distant lands, from every part of the world. They are my own people, and I create them to bring me glory. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, together, we know what happened during the week here in east part of the DRC. Most people, they are affected by the situation that we are going through in east part of the DRC. So, based on the context and the situation we are going through, we suggest that we talk today about a topic titled, Despite the Crisis, the Lord Will Make a Way for You. Amen. I repeat, despite the crisis, the Lord will make a way for you. Everyone is affected by the crisis. You heard the story of Butembo, the story of Goma, and other places in east part of the DRC. And you and I, we are witness. You can see that really we are going through a crisis. But we know that we are not alone. Hallelujah. We are not alone. We have a good shepherd. We had a father who loves us. So while going through this crisis, we know that the Lord will make a way for us. When I tried to talk about this topic, I remember a story of a guy who started a program that I love so much. He's called Anton Boisson. He's an American who passed through a critical situation in his life. A certain time he was admitted in the hospital, and a second time he was admitted in the hospital. He tried the ministry to become a chaplain in the American army, but he didn't succeed. In his church, he didn't succeed, so he was disappointed. But a certain day he met a man called Dr. Kabod, and the time they were talking together about the life, he found that really a human being is a book that that can provide a lot of resources that can bless many people. And based on the critical situation he went through, then he started a movement that blessed universities, faculties of theology and psychology. Today, he is called the father of clinical pastoral training. So you can go through a crisis, but the Lord can use that crisis to make a way to promote you, as it was the situation for the Israelites the time they went to exile. So when we are reading together the book of Isaiah, we know that it's subdivided into three parts. The first part is from 1 to 39. The second part is from 40 to 55. And the last one is from 56 to 66. Three parts from 1 to 39. The second part from 40 to 55. The last one from 56 to 66. So when you try to look or to read this story or this book, you see that Israel also were affected by the critical situation. For example, in the first part of Isaiah, from 1 to 39, you can read the story of a guy who called Sennacherib. He was a king of Assyria, and then he led war, he fought, and he was approaching to Jerusalem, and then people of Jerusalem were afraid. They were afraid, and then they asked themselves, what can we do now as the enemy is coming to destroy our city? Based on that situation, the prophet Isaiah decided to go to the temple, decided to pray with the king, and from there, together they got comfort, and then they shared a message with the people telling them that the Lord will fight for us. Hallelujah. So they know that, yes, they are human being, they are weak, but they know that the one who's standing on their side, he's powerful, he's strong than the enemy. Hallelujah. So that's the first part. So in the second part, it's a critical situation because from 40 to 55, it's about the situation of the victim of the destruction of Jerusalem. Yeah, I think you used to read the story about the destruction of Jerusalem, and you can read more about that from 2 Kings 24 to 25. You see how the situation was in Jerusalem, how the city was destroyed, and as you know, Jerusalem was the holy place, and people living in Jerusalem, they knew themselves that they are the holy city. But now the city is destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, the Babylonian empire, and he kept many people from Jerusalem, and he went with them in exile in Babylon. So the second part is about the crisis that affected the life of Israelites, the time they were living in exile. So our text is from this section, because as you can see, we are reading from Isaiah 43:1-7. And as you remember, the Bible is saying this: the Lord who creates you says, do not be afraid. In other words, fear not. I will save you. Hallelujah. It's not easy to understand such a message. I try to think about people who are victims of the violence in zones such as Beni, in other places such as Ituri, and in other places such as Ntamugenga. When you come with such a message to say that, don't be afraid, fear not, because the Lord will come and save you, many people, they doubt. And for the Israelites, it was critical, because when I tried to think about the story, I can see they spent more than 50 years in exile. And now the Lord is telling them, do not be afraid. I will save you. In another word, I will make a way for you to return, to go back home, to rebuild Jerusalem, and to go back home to build your city and to build the well of Jerusalem. Today, you can ask yourself, when shall we rebuild our villages in east part of the DRC? I think a few days ago, I heard that some rebels, they went in a village and then they destroyed a health center, they burned patients, and some people were kidnapped in Beni. So in such a situation, we need also comfort, and we can also remember that we are not the first people to go through the critical situation. We can learn a lot from the story of Israelites, the time they were in exile. They were living far away from their home. They spent more than 50 years in exile. So I can ask you, you can respond, you can answer. When you try to look back to remember about the story of east part of the DRC, you can let me know how many years have we spent in this crisis. If you will try to think about the genocide that destroyed the neighbor country from 1994 up to now, how many years do we have? How many years? 20? 28. Yes, for the Israelites, they spend 70. When I was teaching as a chaplain in a primary school, I thought that I expect that the situation will change, and then I, as a teacher, I will get my monthly salary. But when I try to think the time I was teaching and up to now, I can see we have more than 20 years. We are still waiting, expecting. Things will change. Teachers will get their salary when? But the Bible is saying, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I will save you. For the Israelites, it was not easy, but finally the Lord made a way. And it was a special way. A special way because he didn't choose an Israelite king. He chose a foreigner ruler who's called Cyrus. He's the one that decided. He's the one that wrote the decree. He's the one that wrote the letter. From now, all people living in Babylon, in Persia, they are going to go back home. Go back home. It was a good news. Hallelujah. Go back home. So Cyrus is like a Messiah who helped those people living in exile to go back home. The Lord is so great. Hallelujah. The Lord is so great. He can make a way from a place that you didn't expect. Hallelujah. You can be admitted in the hospital. And some people can say, oh, he was going to die. I have a friend of mine. He's an American. He told me that a certain time, I think you can also read that story in a book that he wrote. We are distributing that book here in East part of the DRC. It's titled, Que pouvons-nous attendre de Dieu maintenant? What can we expect from God now? So he's writing his story, telling that a certain time, his doctor told him that he is going to die. In 10 years, he's going to die because he is suffering from the cancer. He was afraid. And that situation, that news arrived at the time, he was not successful in his ministry. He tried to lead the church, but he was not successful. And he was working hard. A certain time, his mother was admitted in the hospital. After that, his father got sick. And during that situation, he was asking himself, where is God? But I want to tell you that since the time the doctor told him that he will die in 10 years, he's still alive. And I think if you try to calculate from the time they told him that he will die, you have more than 30 years. He's traveling around the world. He's teaching pastors. He's teaching leaders around the world. He's implementing ministry around the world. God is good. God is good. Yes, he can make a way from the place that you don't expect. So when the Bible says, do not be afraid, I will save you. It's true. It's true. It's true. So those people living in exile, finally, they went back home to restore, to rebuild. And if we have the Old Testament, it results from the experience of exile. Hallelujah. I repeat, if we have the Old Testament, it results from the experience of the exile. So I think for us living in the east part of the DRC, this is the time we need to reflect, to think, and also to start writing our story. Hallelujah. We need to write our story. We need to see how the Lord is performing wonders and miracles, and we need to write that. I think for some people located in the east part of the DRC, you heard that Arms Group, they tried a lot to impose their power in east part of the DRC, but they failed. They failed. They tried this strategy, but it doesn't succeed. So based on that, we can say that really the Lord is fighting for us, as those Israelites. They trust in the Lord the time they were attacked by the Assyrians. So the last part from 56 to 66, Finally, it's about the situation of the return. They call it the post-exilic era. The return. People are going back home now. They rebuild the temple. Now they build the wall. Now they try also to correct some problems in the society, because if you see the time they return, there was problems such as the mixed marriage. And some prophets such as Ezra and Nehemiah and other people, they tried to correct, to restore. And we can praise the Lord to see that really the Lord, when he says everything that he says, it comes to pass. Hallelujah. So the Lord is telling us this morning that although you are going a critical situation, remember, you are not the first. The Lord will make a way for you. As it's written in Isaiah 43, when you pass through deep waters, when you pass through deep waters, I'll be with you. You are not alone. I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When you pass through fire, you will not be burnt. You will not be consumed. The hard trials that come will not hurt you, because I am with you. I will save you. So, as we are affected by the situation now, the Lord is providing us comfort, encouragement, that we are not alone, that we don't need to fear. We need to restore and build a strong relationship with the Lord, our God. May God bless us. Amen.